You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
804 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Different kind of show here this morning. If you want to voice your opinion, more than welcome to. We are open. We are here for you. I know you've probably gotten a load full this weekend, but these are the people. We're with the people, okay? And what the people want to talk about. That's what I'm all about, Del, the people. Yeah. Okay.
The thing that struck me quite a bit, because it's very hard to have a nuanced conversation about police officers in this country, because if you have anything not strictly positive to say, then you get the immediate, well, do you hate cops? You know they have a tough job. And you can't just have that caveat out of the way and just be aware. I understand what goes in. I don't understand because I don't do it, but the job is dangerous. It's tough. But I was just looking at a headline as we just got finished with, I believe, T.A., Thabo Sevilosha, who had his own issues back in 2015 with the police. He goes, it's not just bad apples. And I think some people feel that way. And it's funny, this Chris Rock bit came up over the weekend. Chris Rock said, when you're a pilot, you can't, an organization like United can't say, oh, we just have a couple of bad apples. Because a bad apple means 100 plus people are dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's difficult to do that job. But if you're a police officer, I don't think we should just accept, well, there are a few bad apples. Because they have the power through state mandated and that uniform, the badge, to maybe kill with it without any repercussions. So I can't accept, oh, well, that guy's just a bad apple. Because it means too much for people. What are you telling the person what do you tell George Floyd's family? Well, just a bad apple did that, when that particular bad apple had instance after instance after instance of being a problem and still got to keep his job.
Right.
So you can't tell a person who's a family member, oh, well, that guy, we're not all like that. And understand, I get it. Not all police officers are bad. But you can't use that as an excuse when this has been going on. I was producing for Jerome Solomon yesterday, and I remember the L.A. riots as a kid because I grew up in L.A. I was very young, but I remember the Rodney King verdict and what caused that, and Rodney King on camera beat to a pulp. And you know what? The jury's like, whatever. Well, these guys get to go free, and it started a riot, and that riot only kind of was in the local area, didn't become a national thing. So I would, but those were bad apples too. And you know what? Did it stop those type of things from happening? No. So yes, these are individuals, not an entire indictment of a police force, but I can't stand with the bad apple thing. It means too much to people.
Yeah, no. Well, there's too many instances. And I saw a list of the number of people that were killed by cops. It was like, extensive. It's like, holy crap, this is systemic. It has to end. But I don't know, Del. There is something called qualified immunity, which has kept these cops on the from being convicted. It was funny when Prime went down. I got in the middle of it with a lawyer friend of mine, and he talked to the guys that were arrested and whatnot. I said, well, why can't they go after the DA? Because the DA was obviously behind this. It was very complicated. But he said, you cannot sue the DA. They have qualified immunity. And you can't, and no, you would, it's almost impossible to prove their intent was to harm you when you were arrested. And in a lot of instances, that's what the cops are hiding behind too, is qualified immunity. And hopefully in this case, with these charges, that they are not immune to what they did here. Because in plenty of other instances, they have been.
I know when someone puts on the badge and the blue, they're elevated because of what that job entails. But really, I treat everyone like this. I treat you as an individual. And if you're a good cop or a good person, then we're all good. But I don't think the blue and the badge all automatically elevate you from the person that you are.
But it elevates you to a more powerful person.
And yeah, absolutely. I understand that part.
Yeah, and some of that gives you some immunity.
I understand that part. I get it.
You also have to. It also comes with responsibility. And there are, when you say there's bad apples, yes, there are bad apples and everything. But the bad apples have to be gotten rid of. And then you also have to change what you're doing to prevent the bad apples from getting in so easily. You know, the NFL, it's interesting. They get a very small timetable. Chris Ballard hired a guy who was a Green Beret interviewer and all that. And his whole job, I mean, this guy is brilliant. I talked to him for over an hour and a half. I was so fascinated. His whole job is to talk to people and find out who you are as a person by different questions he asks, by different investigative stuff he does. The NFL goes, sometimes I wonder if they don't go to more lengths to find out the character of a person or who you are, because money's involved with your draft picks, as opposed to at some point you gotta get the right mindset. Like Chauvin had
other instances.
I saw all 12 of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in the DA who's, well, this is now we're gonna get him, and we're, I saw so many people, you sit this one out because you did nothing about him before this. So you need to sit this one out.
Well, Klobuchar got told that.
Yep. Let's get Kevin in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Kevin.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, Kevin.
Good, Kevin. How you doing, man?
Long time listener, first time call.
Welcome in.
Okay. And I want to say that how do we protest, you know, and these people who's complaining about the protest, they're not living with this every day. Just the other night, my kids come home, it was about 11:30, and they were followed to the house, and they had to call us, and I rushed out in my drawers to try to see what was going on, but they was followed home, and we was gave all kinds of excuses of what they was doing. And they were very upset about it. So how do we solve this problem? Because, you know, we live in it every day, and we have to tell our kids to be careful. You know, we give them a curfew when they 20 and 25 years old. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
You know, sit back and listen to what y'all have to say.
Well, I don't have answers.
I don't have that answer. I don't. I don't know what to tell you about that, Kevin. That's unfortunate.
I do feel bad that so much of this is gone. I feel bad that I really think there's going to be some momentum lost because of people who have gone out of their way to make it more violent and in some cases take advantage of the situation. I think it is going to do some damage to this because, man, you see some other protests that are nonviolent. I understand that there's going to be some clashes in the streets. Right. I mean, it's almost impossible not to. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the really extreme stuff. But you know, there are some powerful videos of people, including here in Houston.
Did you see Washington D.C. the peaceful protest?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It flipped upside down the last hour of it yesterday.
Did you see New Zealand this morning?
No.
Oh my goodness. There had thousands and thousands of people in the street walking for miles in protest of this.
Zealand. This is the copycat thing a little bit. Berlin, London also.
Yeah.
I know about Berlin, London, and now I guess New Zealand, and I'm sure there's another country too. They're not even in our country. They're not even, you know, like that's strange to me. That's strange. I would never.
But this is a global thing, though.
It is. But they're protesting U.S. They're not protesting their own issues.
I think they're.
Police brutality in the U.S.
Right.
is what Berlin specifically was protesting, and it is a little dicey. And right. in London too, it's a little dicey considering it needs to be about in general racism. Right. Because when you're protesting the U.S. issue, which is fine, but you have some well documented cases just in your professional sports. I know Dell can attest to the names of the different athletes because I don't know all the soccer players well enough, but this has been a big issue in soccer in different countries with racism. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Like, yeah.
Well, but right. But in New Zealand was weird because
New Zealand's like,
I mean,
what
yeah,
the
I
hell?
Saw it. There was signs about, you know, police brutality and all that, but there was also a Fire Bill O'Brien sign there.
That was a fake.
In New Zealand.
That was
no.
a fake. Somebody has created that picture and sign.
No.
I've seen it too. It's Photoshopped.
It's not, wasn't,
it's
I don't
not
think it was
a real
Photoshop.
Fire O'Brien in the middle of the protest.
In New Zealand, they were protesting.
That's the next wild. One.
They do call Bill O'Brien Mr. Worldwide, so.
Do they really?
Yes. Who does
Worldwide
that?
Bill?
Who yeah. does that?
Well, New Zealand. Everyone.
No.
Everyone wants him gone.
Not everyone
not
calls
every,
him.
New Zealand?
World, I mean, he's Mr. Worldwide. And then he's co-opted it from Pitbull. But, yeah, he's Mr. Worldwide. Wow. And everyone wants him out.
Huh. You know who everyone needs? My man, John Clay Wolf. And Biscuit, John, Dave, we're going to get you guys in here. My man, John Clay Wolf, is what everybody needs right now. Hey, I don't know if you've heard. There's a coronavirus thing going on. Yeah, a pandemic. I'm not sure you heard. And it really ruined a lot of business in this country. But guess what's coming back? And that's the car industry. It is coming back, and it's coming back strong, and John Clay Wolf is buying cars. He was giving away last week $500 if he couldn't beat CarMax's offer. $500. Well, this week, we'll see what he's giving away. Last week, $500. If we couldn't beat CarMax's offer this week, John Clay Wolf, what are we giving away if we can't beat CarMax's offer?
A six-pack of Miller Lite.
Six-pack of Miller Lite. Make it a Coors Light, otherwise it ain't worth it.
You don't have to loot it. We'll give it to you.
All right, here we go. All right. Now we got to replace a bunch of cars with that got ruined this weekend. So.
Did they? What happened in Houston?
Oh, no. There was obviously issues. You know that. What's going on up there?
It's you know, pretty weird. You know, people beating the hell out of things. And mm-hmm. In Fort Worth, actually, they got started, and they just tear-gassed everybody real quick to stop it. And, it's odd, man.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's obviously. It's a weird, weird time. But you know what? What we've been talking about is the coronavirus is still here. Business is still bad. And people got to sell their car because they can't afford a payment. So where do they go to sell their cars?
GiveMeTheVIN.com. And we'll come to you, touchless delivery, so that you don't have to get out and with all the disease and chaos in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm selling fear, Granato, but at this point,
don't sell fear.
I'm kind of fearful.
Don't be fearful. You're okay, John Clay Wolf. And so is GiveMeTheVIN.com. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to get through this together with GiveMeTheVIN.com. Let's all get through this thing together at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 818 on ESPN 97.5. Let's get some more calls in here. Who's next? Biscuit. They've been waiting. Biscuit's an old friend of the show. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, top of the morning to you fellas.
Back at you.
Hey, first of all, man, I know you had a caller in earlier that was kind of talking about what do you tell your kids or whatever. Let me give you an example, man. My son is kind of a little short. And so when he first started driving, he used to get pulled over all the time, right? Police would just pull him over for no reason, nothing, just pull him over. And he would just come home so frustrated and upset all the time. I said, man, what you going to do about it, man? You just can't, you know, what you going to do? So what he ended up doing, he became a police officer. And he, you know, want to be in the system and be one of the guys that rectify the system. You just can't just sit on the side, do something constructive instead of destructive to change the situation. That's what you tell the young folks. That's what I tell all the young kids I'll be coaching and stuff. Hey, man, there's always going to be some injustice. Fair, like my grandpa said, fair comes in the fall. There's no fair in life. Only fair in life comes in the fall. So you have to be constructive and do things.
How did
now, Lincoln's you?
What's it been like the last few days for him?
What'd you say now?
What's it been like for your son the last few days?
You know, and my son is an officer, and one of my best friends is an officer, and my uncle's an officer. I question all of them, and I ask them, so what goes down at the police station after something like this happened. And all of them said it kind of breaks down racial lines. You know, the white cops, for the most part, are giving excuses. Well, he didn't do this. And a lot of the black officers be upset and mad, you know. And, you know, and it's, you know, it makes their job harder, you know. So that's kind of what they're going through right now. But a lot of the black officers be upset. And, you know, this time, though, you kind of see a little difference. Because that, to me, is they all brought up some of it. It's how they reacted to it. When they came out at that press conference, that first press conference, and said what they said, they threw gasoline on the fire. They should have came out. That wasn't the time to be practical. They should have came out and said, we're prosecuting all these dudes, and if they get off, they get off. But we coming out hard. They're going to have to get lawyers. You know, that's when they should have put the hammer down in. Now they up against it because they let, you know, the emotions get up there. And you listen to, I know one girl on Facebook talking about arrest the cops. That's what would have been the best thing to defuse the situation. Mm-hmm. And then the last one I want to make is, we got a generation of young folks, man, that's a different breed. And I think the people in high places better get wrap their mind around it, man, because they're no longer going to take, you know, when we grew up, John and Lance, you could say a couple things and we would just kind of ease up off of it. Mm-hmm. These youngsters have a different mentality because they really don't, when you don't have hope, you live a different way, man. And these youngsters, a lot of them, they dealing, you know, coronavirus, and they can't get a job, and the society has changed in different aspects and all kind of ways, that they are a different breed, man. And you think you're just going to strong-arm them and get them to be quiet? It's not going to happen. They're going to, and they, right now, a lot of people off work anyway, so they got time on their hands. So, man, if they don't come up with better strategy, and if our president don't start using better words and trying to strong-arm and instigate stuff, it's
going to
get worse.
Yeah. Biscuit, appreciate it. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for listening. Yeah, President, he just...
Can't have just, the instigating. That's just not...
He really has a lot of empathy and a lot of tact. Those are two words I was going to use. Dave is next. What do you say, Dave?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What up?
Good, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, listen, I just want to say, I heard one of the earlier callers talking about he done research and there's more white people killed than blacks or whatever. Listen, stuff like that makes no sense because it just distorts the whole subject matter because we're talking about unarmed. Yeah, because of the population, you're going to have more. But we're talking unarmed. I don't know how many times we have to see where I've seen cops begging white guys to put the gun down, put the gun down. And you'll see a black guy who don't have nothing and pop, 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 pop. So it's, you know, it distorts the whole conversation. Then I heard Lance say earlier about the, as far as the autopsy. Listen, those guys work together 24/7. You can go to court tomorrow and watch how the DA and the judge and everyone work in cahoots against you. So, no, you I don't believe none of
them. Yeah. Yeah, that's something that's got to somebody tweeted this out. It was kind of funny. Jesus actually died from a combination of being nailed to the cross and high blood pressure. No, no, no. Okay, so yeah, I know maybe he didn't die of asphyxiation. He died of a cop's knee on his neck. Yes, yes, he did. He died of that. That's what he died of. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, let's get John in here. Hey, John.
Hey, I want to talk about what I saw. Maybe a good point happening. But first, white unarmed people get killed too. Go look up Dylan Taylor. He died the same week Michael Brown did. Had great video, but nobody ever hears about him because it's not a good narrative for the media to put.
I hadn't seen that before. Saw the guy where the cops were laughing at him.
Oh, he had. It was perfect police cam video.
Yeah, the body armor. That was a pretty. Yeah, that was a bad video too. But that should. Yeah, but anyway, that shouldn't make you mad, also though.
My point was, when this first started, like 3 or 4 days ago, it looked like everybody was finally on the same page. I mean, people that you, other officers, other police departments, saying this. Mm-hmm. This was a bad. This Chauvin deal was the guy was an a-hole. Everybody would seem like they were on the same page. The politicians you never heard from that they were supporting. Taking care of this Chauvin guy. But as soon as the riots start, it's just like the Colin Kaepernick kneeling thing. Everything changed from, it looks like finally stuff was going to change, to now all we're talking about is the rioting and the looting. So I just hope once the rioting and looting subside, we are all still on the same page. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, people that I know that were, they're all like, everyone I know said this guy was an a-hole and he was wrong. It's never been like this. I mean, this is a situation I actually thought things were going to change, you know. But now with the rioting and the looting, I hope it doesn't get lost. You know, we keep the same, you know.
I do too. I don't want that to get, and for some people it will, for some people it won't. That's why it's important, but that's why I tell you, thanks for the call. That's why I tell you, though, it is important to talk to real people and not just get everything and all your opinions about people from videos on social media. You must talk to other people that don't look like you. Black people talk to regular white people. Stop. Don't think we're all like this.
None
Saturday
of you are regular.
What's that?
You're all irregular. None of you are regular.
What are you talking about?
He said talk to regular white people.
We are none regular white
none
people.
Of you are regular. I'm a regular white person.
We're regular white people.
Oh, you are definitely irregular.
Well, I'm kind of. You know what? Everybody can talk to me.
Yeah, he's going to say.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to use
that. That's why he's irregular.
I am irregular. Yeah. Dark meat and yet.
Don't use meat. That's my line. That's my thin blue line or thick blue line. Don't use dark
meat. Don't use meat.
Yeah.
He's on record several times, as am I. On a serious note, though, speaking to somebody who he and I have had great conversations, and he even told me, look, sometimes, Lance, I'll be honest with you, I'll just see white people I don't know, and he said, I just think the worst of them. I think that they are against us, they want blah, blah, blah. And he said, I didn't used to think this way. And this is a guy who is a professional, he is accomplished, he is in a good, quote unquote, a good spot. But he said, I don't want to think that way. It's just the social, and we both agreed, social media will really, you really have to work against that because it starts to create generalizations. So please, if you do one thing, reach out to somebody you know already and just talk to them and remind yourself that, you know what, don't generalize. Please go find people that don't look like you, that don't live your life. And I mean it both ways. Black people listening, go find white guys who you, or women, and you're not going to find everything's not a Karen. Everything is not a situation where people are, you know, want the worst for you. Similarly, you must go and talk to somebody who is black and find out their experience and get through the initial defenses. That's not easy to do. That's why I'm glad I have a friend in Rodney who I've always been able to talk. Like, if he tells me something, it's just the deal. It is what it is. I don't have, well, what about this? Like, your what about on Friday? No. Don't tell me about the what abouts with Rodney. When he tells me, no, this is the deal, and that's the deal. And I mean, he told me, you know, he's got a law degree, and he's a sports agent. Most of them do. And he has a daughter who is... you know what? That's a private conversation. I don't want to talk about it, actually. I don't know if I have permission to talk about it. But basically, he's teaching her to think logically and critically.
Right.
Oh, so but if she wants to be a lawyer, she's got to be able to think her way around mechanisms that are put in place that, you know, could subvert your ability to get justice in a situation like this.
All right. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here, I want to talk, but we were just talking with John Clay Wolf about selling your car. How about buying that car? Chastang Ford buys them as well. If you need to trade in, you can do that as well at Chastang Ford. Listen, Chastang Ford has been in business here since 1933. What you do is you trust them. What you do is they have been, if you can stay in business, in the car business, in the city of Houston, since 1933, you're doing something right. And that's referrals and return business. For the most part, like 85%, before we started doing these commercials, Patrick told me like 85% of our business is return or referral. That just says so much about a dealership, is that you do business so well that people want to come back and buy the car from you, or they will refer it to a friend, refer you to a friend. And that is so, so awesome. You don't hear that. Where do you have 85% of your business is just word of mouth or return? That's unbelievable. And yet you're still the number one commercial vehicle Ford dealer in this city. That's spectacular. So if you're looking for that Ford Crier truck, they're going to get you in the payments that you need. They're going to get you at the best price. They're going to get you 84 months of interest-free. They're going to get you 6 months no payments. They're going to get you nothing down. They're going to do all of these things right now. Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com, just 5 minutes from downtown on 610. Homestead, not Hempstead. Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
831 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We are here for you. We, you know what? We've had plenty of these shows with stuff going on around the world, and we'd like to be a diversion, but unfortunately, sometimes maybe we'd just be a sounding board. That'd be, if that's what you want to do, if you want to sound off about what's going on, 713-780-3776 is the number. Michael is here. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I was going to talk about something else, but then I heard Lance say, share your experiences. Well, I'm a 40-year-old black man, and for years, I talked to my buddies, and I've seen these things go on, and I've always been able to make an excuse, you know, well, it was a criminal, or they were resisting, or whatever. And then in the last couple of years, I'm starting to see these instances where it can't be explained. And what really hit home for me was when the woman was just playing PlayStation in her house, and it was just supposed to be a welfare check, and she got shot. And then this happened. And so I'm trying not to get emotional because I've been angry, and I've been mad, I've been sad. And I want my white friends, like I have a lot of white friends, and I want them to know how I feel because I hear them say things and generalize it. I don't think they understand how you feel, that I could be walking down the street in my neighborhood and someone can call the cops and say, he looks like somebody that could break into a house and call the cops on me and I get shot. Mm-hmm. And then my daughters be without a father. Or I could just be just doing nothing, and I could end up like Mr. Floyd in Minnesota, you know? So it's like, I want to reach out to people. I want to talk to people and let them know how I feel, but then you read social media and these people, I think, I don't want to get political, but I think one of the things that Mr. Trump has done, people can say whatever the hell they want, and it's okay. You know, it doesn't matter who it hurts. Yeah. And maybe this is just social media overall. You know, you can say whatever you want on social media, and there's no consequences. And I think right now in the world, I don't agree with the looting. Look, I run a restaurant. I'm in the restaurant business. Somebody broke in here, and I'm broke. I'm out of a job. I have no money. That would suck. I would never wish that on anybody. But you're starting to see people get angry and tired of the excuses and tired of the this is why it happened. Even now with the, I heard you guys talking about the prosecution. Even now, the prosecution is already bumbling in this case. The things they're putting in print, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Well, he was a big guy. He was 6'2", you know, or 6'4". Maybe the cops were afraid of him and he was resisting arrest. And so they're already giving the defense ammunition to why this cop is going to get off. And so now I'm even more angry. And I don't know how I should feel. I don't know if I should be angry. I don't know if I should be sad. So if there's people out there listening who want to know why this is going on, most people don't agree with the looting. But most people want to be heard. They just want it to stop. It's time, man. It's time we get past this. This is 2020. I should be able to walk down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It is. And you know, the counter argument comes, what about people who commit crime? You can't just assume everyone's out to do good. I understand that. There's, you don't want to be stupid. You want to keep your eyes open and you want to be smart, and not everyone's there to not do you harm. There are people who are going to rob you and there are people who are going to do this and that. But what Michael's talking about is this underlying issue that we have. I'm going to say something that's going to be a moment of levity in a second. But I don't even want to tell Dell. I honestly don't want Dell to even know this, and I shouldn't even say it. And I told my wife when it happened, I said, I really can't tell Dell, and I'm going to. I'll do it now. I'll do it now because this is heavy stuff. And, Michael, not to diminish what you're saying, there are a lot of people who you really have – that's why you have to talk to people and find out, hey, what's your experience? What's your experience? Tell me if you have an experience. And some will say, I really haven't experienced it that much. Can I tell you, this is a true story. I was at years ago, this was 1998 or 1999, there was a guy I met named Tom Vaughn. And Tom Vaughn was a local sports agent, and he is who introduced me to Alonzo Highsmith. He was managing his boxing career at the time, and that's how I got to know Zoe. Early stages of us doing a radio show together. Tom was a guy who had cancer. He was going through chemo treatments. He was living life to the fullest. Tom was like, man, I'm going for it. And so he had this, he had a jet, and he was a personal injury lawyer here. He had a jet. Once again, I mean, I'm in my 20s. I don't know him all that well, but I got introduced to him and inside his little circle quickly. He goes, Lance, we're flying to Mississippi to go gamble today. You in? Yeah, I'm in. So it's me, Alonzo, Tom, and like two other people. We fly to this place in Mississippi. A guy at a table, I was sitting there, a guy at a table dropped an N-bomb on Alonzo Highsmith. And Alonzo's cool as a cucumber. Alonzo's always. And I saw Zoe. He had this restrained fire in his eyes. And he said, I will tell you right now, you need to leave this table. And the guy goes, he picked his chips up. Zoe gave him a look that I was like, oh, my God. First of all, I couldn't believe someone did this. It was because a guy didn't like that Alonzo took a hit in a game of blackjack. He didn't like and I'm like, I couldn't believe I was hearing that. That was 90. I mean, here we are. You still have stuff happening. I can't believe when I see it on video. So I have to open my eyes to the fact that there are people still dealing with stuff. You and I have talked about this. I feel like I know there was a time when things were getting better when I was younger. There's no question about it. When I was young, things were getting better, and then it deteriorated. Now it's at an all-time worst. It's never been worse than this. But it's also because no one talks to each other anymore. And Michael, do what I did. I deleted Twitter from my phone and from my iPad. I said, you know what? I'm not doing it. I'm not watching it. I'm not getting into it. If I got something to say, I'll call people. If I've got something to say, I'll talk to people I know. I'm not going to make assumptions. I'm going to go talk to people I know. And if you don't know them, go just say hi to somebody and meet them. Let's get Trey in here, and I'll tell you my little quick story. It only takes 45 seconds, and it was just horrifying for me.
Let's get Trey in. What's up, Trey?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
First of all, you know, really appreciate you guys opening up this conversation and taking the time this morning to have it. You know, I just want to say thanks for that. And one of the people I follow on social media, Balmani Jones, he usually has some pretty insightful things to say with this kind of stuff. And he made a point about, for him, all of this time feels different. He didn't know why. He couldn't pinpoint why it felt different. And I thought that was an interesting point. So I was thinking, you know, what maybe one thing that does feel different about this and maybe one really good thing that could come out of this, I hope, is when you think about Colin Kaepernick and you know, when all that went down and he was asked to defend himself and explain himself, and anyone who wanted to kneel had to explain themselves. I think if anything this does, you know, the burden is not on anyone to explain themselves or why they want to protest anymore. Like, the burden is on the people who don't like the protest. The burden is on the people who don't like the anthem kneeling. You explain what your problem is with the protest. It's not on the people to explain why they're protesting anymore. We see why they're protesting. We see why they feel the way they feel. They no longer need to defend themselves. And I think if anything that changes from this or that's different, I hope that's one thing. So I appreciate you guys taking my call. Y'all have a good one.
And don't forget, you can be against the violence and some of the looting or arson or whatever. You can be against that. But just don't forget the way you feel. If you felt a certain kind of way about after seeing that video, and if it changed your mind, because I saw people on Facebook, Randy Clark is like, you know what? I'm wrong on the Kaepernick thing. And he said, I really didn't see this. And my wife said, yeah, but you know what? For him to even say, and I said, hey, if people come around on something, that's all that matters. Stop. Don't make it. Yeah, but initially you thought this. So what? The end result is what you're trying to get. And if people are more aware of situations and they want change and they want it to get better, so don't let everything distract. Keep your eyes on the prize. In other words, don't let it distract you from certain things. However, you also don't just say, well, I'm just okay, or I condone this or that. And I've seen a lot. Steven Jackson doesn't condone. You know, Steven Jackson was good friends with Big Floyd. They're very good friends. And he doesn't condone this. Bun B, who's going to join us at 9 o'clock, he doesn't condone this. But he understands it, and he'll talk about, you know, it's a nuanced thing inside the black community as well about, well, you know, how do we deal? Because this is conversations I'm having with people, so I'm not just making this up. And they say, you know, we don't want this to happen, but we understand the rage that happens. And some people are taking advantage of this. I do understand that. And some of them...
I understand.
Some of them don't even live in any of those neighborhoods.
No. I understand burning and breaking and, you know, the yelling and the anger more than I understand the looting. I think it's, quite frankly, that guy died, so let's go shopping for free. And for anyone to be gaining monetarily from George Floyd's death right now, I think there's a special place for you. I really do. I think the looting, you can claim, well, you know, that's a form of protest. Okay. If you want to protest. But if you're just in this now, well, let's go shopping now.
Well, if you're smashing up like Foot Action, there was one in LA, they start making arrests, but if you're smashing up stuff, the angry and
if you're angry.
Like I told my son was asking about it. I said, Mason, you know how you go in your room and have you ever thrown, I was talking to him because Snacks is ready to go to the streets and like Snacks is social justice. I mean, he's like all the way like, this is not, and you got your knee and Snacks is going crazy. But I said, Mason's like, this the rioting and looting, this isn't right. I said, no, it's not right. And we started talking about it. I said, but you know, the anger.
Right.
I said, do you ever go into your room and you're so mad at us? Because I already know the answer, by the way. I set them up. You ever throw stuff down? Have you ever broken anything after you've been so mad at us and so filled with rage and anger? Because he's a highly emotional kid. Yeah? Okay. Just saying, take some of that. Now sprinkle.
With that, I understand.
Way more stuff that people are dealing with.
Listen, don't condone it. I understand them attacking the police department in Minnesota. I get that. But going in and just taking as much as you can from Target is to me, you're just trying to get that personal gain that you're trying to get is, I think there's, you know, whatever. 844 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here with us. In the meantime, TGS.
TGS Homeowners Insurance. Make sure that you have your homeowners insurance at the best rate that you can possibly get. Why would you do it with something that's not an A-rated insurance company? You're not going to. All the big-name companies that you use, they are A-rated insurance companies, but a lot of times they'll use underwriters. How about the fact that you go to all these underwriters, these A-rated underwriters, even the big-name companies use, so that you get your homeowners insurance, especially as hurricane season is coming up. Today's the first day of hurricane season. Why are you paying too much for your homeowner's insurance? All you have to do is text money to 232323, and within 15 minutes, you can end up, or 15 seconds, I should say, you can end up getting a firm personalized quote for your homeowner's insurance. You think it's too good to be true? Do it. See what happens. Text money to 232323. That's all you have to do. And make sure that you are covered for not just homeowners, but for any situation. And if you're worried about losing your bundle, well, you can still get your bundle, your car insurance, because they'll shop for your car insurance as well. And if you just signed with somebody, they can get all of your prorated money back and get you the right coverage. And they can do it on the same day. It's incredible. Text money to 232323.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Mommy, Daddy, I got a fish!
Sign up for the CCA Star Tournament and take the kids fishing for a chance to win a $25,000 or $50,000 scholarship. And while they're at it, you can fish to win prizes like a new boat and truck combo. There's over $1 million in scholarships and prizes just waiting for you to wet a line. The tournament starts May 23rd and runs till September 7th. Sign up at StarTournament.org, local bait camps, and marinas. Sign up now!
During these trying times, Veritex Community Bank remains your reliable banking partner. We're dedicated to our community and committed to providing solutions for our customers. Connect with us at veritexbank.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Somewhere Dr. Fauci screaming that we must limit the stores to 10 looters at a time.
Oh, if we don't see a spike. Man, if we don't see a spike in,
my goodness,
in COVID now.
I'm watching Art Acevedo. By the way, he gave an impassioned speech. Did you see that?
I saw he had his mask on.
I guess a picture of him walking with a woman, and her mask is down, and he doesn't even have one on, and he's got his arm around her, and they're talking. You guys, there's still, I don't know if you heard, there's still a coronavirus.
So Bun was in Minneapolis. He and Trey the Truth, and a lot of people went down to Minneapolis after the first or maybe second night. And in all the pictures, he has his mask on. Like, they all have. People from Houston, they're like, no, we're still wearing masks. Still wearing masks. But, yeah, some protests, the more peaceful protesters were, the ones who are not so peaceful, not really a mask. I'm going to just tell you this quick story because I was like, oh, my God, I feel so terrible. Me and my wife are going for a walk. We got our dog Splits going for a walk. We get down about, I don't know, 9-10 houses down. This lady gets out of a car. She's delivering food. She's got clearly a pizza box and something else. And she's walking probably 20 yards in front of us. Like, she's 20 yards in front of us. We're not even getting to her. She already crosses us. We're 20 to 30 yards away. She puts the food on the doorstep, knocks on the door, and leaves. Contactless delivery, right? And we're like, all of a sudden we get hit with this smell. It smelled unbelievable. It's the garlic and red sauce. You can smell. I'm like, oh my gosh. My wife said, can you smell that? I said, that smells incredible. And I ask, now this lady is black. And I ask her, and I say, she goes, my wife says, where's that from? I say, where's that from? Because I recognize she's delivery. She's either Uber Eats or whatever. So where's that from? She goes, Nigeria. And she smiles. She goes, oh, Nigeria. And I'm like, Nigeria? The food is? She goes, oh, I thought you asked where I was from. I'm like, oh, my God. Now she thinks I'm the white guy asking, where are you from?
Do you belong in this?
Oh, my God.
Did you say?
No. I was asking about where the delivery is from.
Did you say, is that from this neighborhood?
You should have seen me try to make. It was like a comment. It was like, no. That's not what I mean. Wait, so are there any good Nigerian restaurants I should try here? And what do you like? Is there a good dish I should try?
So where was this pizza from?
She didn't even know. Oh. She's just delivering.
Did you say, no, I swear, I do a great Nigerian accent and then do yours?
Did you do it? Did you
try to bond with her?
Did you say,
where are you from? Excuse me?
Yeah.
No, she didn't. No, I didn't do my Del Dad voice. Huh.
That might help you out a little bit.
At that time, I didn't say that I too was from Nigeria. That could be a character. No, I do a character. Can I do this for you? Like, you're just digging.
I swear.
You should have.
I turned to my wife and said, oh, my God, she thinks I'm asking, where are you from in this neighborhood?
Uh-huh.
She goes, no, you didn't. You're fine. You were friendly. You ask a question about a Nigerian restaurant, as ill-conceived as that may have been.
Are you from this neighborhood? Is that what you said? Or is that food from... That from this neighborhood?
And I just said, where's that from? She goes, I'm from Nigeria. No. No, not where are you from? I'm sorry.
Well, you don't want her delivering food in your neighborhood?
I'm just trying to find out where the pizza was
from.
Did you
ask for her ID, too?
Did you call the police and say you were being threatened by this woman?
Did you say a Nigerian-American threatened you? Did you do that?
I didn't weaponize anybody.
Did you choke your dog while you were taking this video?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Although he chokes himself when he runs after other dogs.
Who know Lance was a Chad? You're a Chad.
Yeah.
God. This is why I shouldn't have told. I shouldn't even put it out there for tell. My wife's like, stop feeling bad. She said she wasn't upset with you. She was smiling.
What kind of question?
No, I didn't even
find out. You're a terrible interviewer.
Yeah.
I wanted to know where the food was. I should have just kept the eyes on the prize. Said,
yes.
No, I'm sorry. I want to know where the food is from.
Where's it from?
It smells
delicious.
Why
didn't you go up on the porch and look?
I don't jump up on people's porches. That's not my business.
Doing
especially
all that dancing
yesterday.
I ain't trying to jump up on somebody's porch.
You doing all that dancing? Didn't even ask the right question.
Were you in blackface while you were doing this? While you were walking?
Nah, that'd be a weird way to go.
You've gone too far.
Yeah, that'd be a weird way
John's
to go about life.
Officially gone too far.
Just walking around your neighborhood
in
blackface.
Yeah, reel him in.
That's weird.
Reel him in, Del.
That would have been weird.
Yeah.
And then he jumps up on the porch trying to find out what the food is.
It's gone too far. Well, it was just a pizza thing.
Did you see yesterday? If you were on a porch, you might have got shot with a rubber bullet.
Yes, you might have. Larry. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
All this protesting and stuff that's going on, people thinking that, you know, the looters and stuff, it is people coming from other states. Because you got these far right and these far left that want to make it into something different. But, you know, I'm 50 years old, and what you see out there is a bunch of these kids. But America was due for this. And I'm going to tell you why. You see, this has been going on for centuries. Each century, like my generation, my father's generation, it was worse. It kind of calmed down in my generation. Now, these 20 years old, these 20 to 30, they're not having that. You know? And then the separation is so deep is because of the president. And the main reason politicians do this is put races against each other. It's to stay in power and keep stealing. Because they know they can't tear this country up from outside. You know, being an ex-military combat vet, I've been to about 7 different countries. And people would say, oh, y'all Americans, y'all just so, you know, we just think we all this and all that. And it really was because, you know, when I went to Desert Storm, I was probably, 21?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're not really seeing what's going on in the world, but until you get out there to different countries and get a different perspective. But this country is really, really racist. And I thank God that we live in a city like Houston, because Houston is really diversified. You think about it. When you're riding around in your neighborhood and they have a cookout, you see different races at that cookout. I know I was. You know, and I'm from New Orleans, but all my friends, Third Ward, Fifth Ward, and at the cookout, you have whites, blacks, Vietnamese, and you have some that's made it, some that's still in the hood, but it's so diversified over here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in the 80s, it was different over here with the cops. When I was a teenager coming up, it was different, way different than what it is now. But with the chief to get up and say what he said, I mean, he's right. I mean, and you got to really look at it. I mean, y'all just think about it. This city is so diversified. And I don't know, because I know at one time, you know, we had a bunch of white people in the inner city. A bunch of them had moved out of the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're moving back into the inner city.
It's
you know,
It's because Houston has embraced it. People have embraced it. It's one of the things I'm most proud of, to be honest. When the Super Bowl came here in 2004, was it? Four or five?
Yep, four.
A lot of people didn't enjoy, the weather was bad and all that stuff. But we've changed a lot from a cultural, culinary, just everything. And when the Super Bowl came back into town this time around, I made sure that people who were from out of town got to see, because people still hear Texas or Houston and they think a certain way, but it's really, I mean, we couldn't be, a lot of times people, what people think of, to be honest, is more Dallas. It's really not, and I'm not saying Dallas has some diversity too, but I mean, Houston, as far as I'm concerned, we really embrace it, generally speaking. Yeah, there are people. Don't tell me about the fringes who don't, or the fringe of this or that. Houston in general does embrace it. I live in a community that's heavily, actually, Middle Eastern, from a business standpoint, is Middle Eastern and Indian and Hispanic, depending on where you go along the street. And people, I mean, it's where I go. It's that's what I'm in, and it's not, I like it. I mean, personally, it is a strength of Houston to me, Houston's diversity. And what Larry said is one of the reasons I'm very proud of Houston. And I don't want Houston. I want Houston to be better than everyone else. Yep. It's the reason why I truly believe we handle hurricanes and disasters better than anyone else.
Well, and we're helping. It's got a small town feel still, but it's a huge city. Huge city.
Unless
but
you're we Nigerian still act, and are delivering pizza.
Yeah, right. That's not fair.
Well, not only that, but don't you think it's a little insensitive?
I found out the best Nigerian restaurant. Thank you.
Native
American. I'll tell you if you need to know.
Shouldn't he be
Dell,
using Native American
know.
Instead of saying Indian?
I think he meant Indians from
across
the ocean.
Oh, I don't know
ocean,
that. I don't know
right?
that.
You meant
no, I okay. meant, yeah, I meant right. Indians as in
I'm sorry.
People
and,
from
yes.
India.
Chris yeah. Cross. Is that what yeah. you say too?
Chris okay. Cross.
Right.
Applesauce. He's doing
criss-cross
a sitting
sauce.
Indian style thing.
At least
is
it
what
wasn't.
He's doing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At least he didn't do that.
At least he didn't do that.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Thank God.
John, that don't forget that camera's on again.
I didn't say a thing. I didn't make those
don't
gestures.
Do any of your funny
I
little
didn't,
moves.
Yeah. I didn't make
funny
any,
man.
I didn't
funny
make
man.
Any gestures.
No, I meant India, the country.
Oh,
India.
Whatever. Whatever. I heard it's offensive.
Well, he just told you. He meant.
Shouldn't you say Native Middle Eastern?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not Middle Eastern,
Native
though.
Middle Eastern.
That's not a thing, Native whatever. Middle Eastern.
Shouldn't you?
You're being far too woke to try to get him in
that's
trouble.
Me.
Yeah.
That's me. Okay?
John's,
Team Jamel.
John's so woke, he's trying to break, like, Black Lives Matter. And he's hitting with a skateboard, trying to break things. Like, what are yeah. you? Yeah. What's this 16 kid? What well, is Austin doing? Austin! Get back home!
Well.
You're not part of the movement, Austin.
I just think it's insensitive, that's all.
Austin's like, I'm going to go get on your Twitch feed. I'm going to go blah, blah, blah.
Bun going to join us on the other side?
He's going to join us
on the other side. We got a bunch of calls here. A bunch of people want to get in.
Sit tight. Sit
yep,
tight.
Yep. Whatever you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. That's what this show's for. Right now, though, I want to talk about Doc Linville. That's my man, Doc Linville, over there. You know why? Because I don't look in the back of my head too much. I got a glimpse of it the other day, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, I had a giant gaping. I think they said it was a skin yarmulke, okay? Because I had the giant skin 9-iron divot out of the back of my head. And now it's like holy cow, you can't even tell that I had a bald spot. I'm serious. It is awesome. And it's all because of Doc Linville and this process, and it's easy and it's wonderful and it's affordable and you can make payments and there's a virtual consultation that you can do, or you can go see the doc. You want to go to the office. Wonderful, beautiful people at Doc's office. And the process is simple and it just can't be better. So if you're looking for a great way to get hair, go find out about the neo-grafting. It's so much less painful than the other processes and it's so much easier. It's 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, school is out, the kids are home, and they're going crazy, but not at my house. It's the perfect time to get a Pro Dunk Hoops bag.